From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him, and I will raise him on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the desert, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we get in this sixth day of the second Easter octave to the climax of what Jesus was teaching. Tomorrow we'll have the response of the disciples. Saturday we'll have the response of the apostles. Jesus was bringing us to the point of faith in the extraordinary reality that the way he wants us to participate in his risen life is through entering into a communion with him risen from the dead. So he describes that whole process by which we're drawn to embrace this reality in the loving plan of the Father. Even though we break up the sixth chapter into eight different parts, Church doesn't give us all of it. They excised a small portion before today's gospel, when the first reaction, as soon as they were starting to hear Jesus talking about his being the bread of life, "Is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter?" they were asking. "Isn't he human just like us? What is this speech about becoming the bread of life?" And that's why Jesus begins to say, the Father has been at work drawing people to this reality. Are you being drawn by the Father? "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him." And if we're being drawn by the Father to accept with faith this reality, then we will enter into eternal life that way, because that's always been the plan of the Father. Jesus goes on about docility in the faith, which is key for us not just with the Eucharist, but throughout all of life. It's written, they shall all be taught by God. And then he describes two parts of that divine mystagogy. Everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. Two verbs which were very relevant in this conversation, so many parts of the gospel in our life too. First is to be on the Father's frequency, to be actively listening to what he would say. Not just what he did say, not just what he wrote down, but how he continues to speak inwardly. Listen to the Father. In Hebrew, the verb to hear and to obey is exactly the same. That we hear as words to be done. We've got to listen to the Father first, and then we've got to learn from the Father. Through doing what the Father says, we begin to become changed. That's the real process of learning. We're led from the darkness into the light. And anyone who does this, being drawn by the Father, listen in response to the Father, and learn how the Father wants us to live, that one will have eternal life, because he'll accept what the Father says in his Son, that bread of life, who comes. And Jesus makes an extraordinary promise, so that one may eat of it and not die. The one who gnaws on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, This is the means not just to participate in God's life in this world, but forever. When we enter into holy communion with the Lord, because He is eternal, it never expires. What an extraordinary reality that we will spend all of eternity pondering. That Jesus has made Himself not just our Savior, but our food. And He comes down for us every day so that we might consume Him and not die, but in fact begin to experience life to the full. This is why all the earth should cry out to God with joy. We see an example of this type of docility in today's first reading. It's a beautiful witness. We see two examples in today's first reading, to be honest, of those drawn by God, who seek to listen and who learn and who experience the joy of the life that God wants to give. The angel spoke to the deacon Philip and just told him directions. Go quickly to the road heading to the south, the desert route. And so, drawn by the Lord and listening to the Lord, he learned and he went. There was this Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot through the desert. And the chariot wasn't exactly burning rubber, but nevertheless it can go much faster than a human being can. And we see Philip's docility when Philip just doesn't hail the taxi. What he does is he runs up to join the chariot. You can picture the scene in the middle of a desert. You've got this guy running in sandals across the desert trying to catch up to the chariot. Probably the Ethiopian eunuch thought that Philip just wanted to catch a ride across the desert. He wanted far more. He wanted to help the eunuch catch a ride all the way to the eternal Jerusalem. So he ran up and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. He was running alongside the chariot for a little while then. I mentioned before that up until the time of Augustine, it was unheard of that someone would read silently. That's why people were shocked that St. Ambrose would read without reading aloud, that he had the capacity to assimilate without hearing it. But just with his eyes, he could learn. So the Ethiopian eunuch was reading out loud from the suffering servant, Isaiah 53, a curious scroll to have by God's divine plan. You know, scrolls were extremely expensive. Typical scroll with sacred scripture in today's money would have cost about $50,000. Why was the Ethiopian eunuch in Jerusalem? Because many of the non-Jews would come to Jerusalem because they had a sense of monotheism and they were really respectful of the Jewish moral code. So there's a great fascination among these God-fearers. But he was so fascinated that he wanted to learn more. So he picked up a scroll. How many other scrolls did he add in that chariot? We won't know. But here was a man who was seeking to tune into God's voice, even if God was speaking in a language he couldn't understand. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked him. How can I unless someone instructs? It's a beautiful question in response to a question. It's not enough just to read. We need to understand what we're reading, but we can't understand it all on our own. We need to have somebody instruct. Ultimately, they will all be taught by God. God sends these instruments, but we need those instruments. St. Paul has that famous passage in the letter to the Romans about how one can come to faith unless he hears, and how can one hear unless somebody proclaims, and how can someone proclaim unless he is sent. God sends those to help us be instructed and understand. So Philip got into the chariot and sat with him. As he was going through this passage about the sheep led to the slaughter, and was asked whether the author was speaking about himself or about someone else. that whole question of the dynamism of someone innocent suffering was the opening. It struck oil in this Ethiopian eunuch because he, by his own experience, recognizes that suffering is supposed to be meaningful. And there was something incredible about this prophecy of what Jesus would precisely do in order to be able to give himself to us. And so Philip began for God to teach him, and the eunuch listened, learned, and believed. And he believed in such a way that after Philip had integrated the suffering servant with the mystery of baptism, there in the middle of the desert, almost we could say by a miracle, a body of water appears so that God could continue that instruction. Look, there is water. What's to prevent my being baptized? It's a beautiful question. What's to prevent? He wanted it right away. He had received enough instruction. He wanted to begin to live that life. That's when they both went down to the water and this great gift was given, the eunuch. Today on this 48th anniversary of my own baptism, we think about the great gift that we have received even before we were able to listen to the suffering servant psalm. Our parents had and brought us to receive this extraordinary gift so that we would be able from the inside to hear the voice of the Lord, learn from him as we grow in the sacramental life, so that we would be ready to enter into the eternity we consume each morning. Today we give God thanks for the way that he has drawn us. And we prayed, as you remember in the opening collect, that we, having been freed, might cling to the Lord's truth as that truth becomes incarnate and dwells within us.